If you've been following along in Hebrews in the sermon summaries, you know that as we began chapter 6 of Hebrews, there's a dire warning, and it is quite serious, and it ought to strike some fear into our hearts. But in verse 9, we have one word that really changes the feel of the text for us, and the feel of this passage. The author of Hebrews says, "But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way." So these five words in English, or three words in the original, change the whole feeling of the section. You had better persevere, is the warning, because if you don't, you are in big trouble. But I know you will, the author is saying. He's saying that they are convinced, they are sure, they are persuaded, they agree to this truth, him and his colleagues who are writing this book. They're convinced of better things concerning them, that there are better things for these believers, not fading away, not facing judgment, but rather the full glories of the things mentioned previously, and the things that accompany salvation. Now he contrasts and continues a train of thought, not the things which accompany apostasy, but the things which accompany salvation. He says this, though we are speaking in this way. So despite speaking of falling away in the apostasy, not entering the eternal rest which is promised, though he is warning them, they believe that they are true believers, and that true believers, they know, of course, will not fall away. And therefore, verse 10, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, and having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. So God is just. He's righteous. He is the judge. So the assurance is not based upon the people, rather upon the being and essence of God. He is just, and therefore he will reward. He will reward these readers for their work for the gospel's sake and the love that they have for God through loving God's people by ministering to other believers. This they're still currently doing. They're persevering. They're showing evidence of true salvation. So what is this verse saying? Is it saying that their salvation is dependent upon works and love? No. Is it saying that God saves them according to their work and love? No. It's saying, or pointing out, that true faith has fruit, and that as they are persevering in love and work and serving the Lord, it is evidence that they are true believers. Now we turn to verse 11. It says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." So we see that each one of them, this is something that happens personally. You must do it. It is showing diligence, having earnest commitment or discharge of an obligation. It is, he says, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. So we will one day, after a long and painful life, come to see Jesus, and it will be worth it, so that you will not be sluggish. So this promise of eternal life, this fact that we will see Christ one day, we will realize the full assurance of our hope until the end, it motivates us to be active and to press forward so that you are not slow and sluggish. What an illustration. You just look at a slug and how slowly it moves along. But no, we are not to be that way. Rather, we are to be active and to press forward. And in this way, to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And that's what we'll see in chapter 11, are all these incredible examples for us. I want to close by just reading of two individuals. A young lady named Rifka was born in 1992 into a devout Muslim family in Sri Lanka. At a young age, she was hit in the face by a toy plane and blinded in one eye, and also sexually assaulted by an uncle. Her family, because of the shame or dishonor that she brought upon them, moved to Ohio, where she faced continual abuse. She heard of people believing in Jesus, not just as another prophet, but as God himself in human flesh. In her young teen years, she became a follower of Christ, and this changed her drastically, and her family could not help but notice. After a period of questioning and seeing a lack of enthusiasm in her life towards Islamic rituals, they discovered that she was no longer a follower of the Muslim faith. After her family had somehow found out about her baptism, she was told she would be killed by her father or be taken care of by the mosque leadership. The dawn, before she would have been killed, she fled by the help of Christian friends. She faced starvation and sickness, exhaustion, rejection for days, but finally reached a loving Christian couple in Florida. Her bliss was short-lived as government and her family found out where she was. She was then imprisoned for being a juvenile delinquent and had to face her family in court for roughly 2 years. She went from foster home to protect her from her family to finally land in a loving home in Ohio, where she was then diagnosed with cancer and given months to live. This young lady lives today, and she continues to profess Christ as her Lord and Savior despite all her trials and difficulties. She persevered through hardship, and one day she will see the full assurance of her faith. And we too, alongside of Rivka, are to pursue Christ relentlessly as he has pursued us, and hold fast to him.